Hello, Northwest Ohio. Are you tired of just surviving? You've come to the right place. Come thrive with your wellness tribe. Hey guys, I have Dr. Malia White here with me today. She's actually on the phone, and I'd like to introduce her. She's a naturopathic doctor located in Waterville, Ohio. She graduated from Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine in July of 2010. Thereafter, she completed 1 year of internship with Dr. Mary Kay Geyer. Did I get that right? Uh-huh. In Tempe, Arizona, whose practice was focused on family medicine as well as minor surgical procedures. Having grown up in Ohio and attended the University of Toledo, she returned to Ohio in 2011 to provide naturopathic care to Northwest Ohio. She has found a niche in working with digestive disorders. However, as she is only one of two licensed naturopathic doctors in Northwest Ohio, her patients span a wide variety of medical conditions and ages. In her spare time, she enjoys cooking, finding new healthy whole foods recipes to try, traveling, kickboxing, archery, and is currently training for her first half marathon this fall. So cool. So, Dr. White, that's pretty impressive. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm a jack of all trades.
Thanks for being our first guest on the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. And sounds like you lead a pretty exciting, active life.
Well, I try to stay busy, that's for sure, and just, you know, practice what I preach and try to keep that in mind when I'm meeting with my patients, that I can always give them ideas and hobbies for things that they maybe love and can fall in love with and keep them active and healthy.
Yeah, that's so cool. You really do some different things like archery. That's really interesting. Is there a place where you do that in the Toledo area?
There is a place that's called West Winds that's out on Airport Highway that I love to go to. They have a range as well as a 3D range that you can kind of walk around and practice. So I like going out there when the weather's nice. And Bass Pro Shop has a really small range that you can go, and it's pretty inexpensive, so I'll go there during winter times to practice. But no competitions or anything, and I only shoot at just the targets.
Oh, very cool. So you're not shooting at people or animals. That's always good.
No, definitely not. I don't have the heart for that. For sure.
I like that philosophy, too. Okay, so I introduced you as a naturopathic doctor, and I know a lot of our listeners probably will know what that is, but in case anybody out there does not know what a naturopathic doctor or naturopathic medicine is, oh my, there was some thunder. We might be interrupted by a storm here. Now, that was a long one. So anyway... Boom! There must be something to this naturopathic medicine because God has just put in his 2 cents. So, so what is naturopathic medicine?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that all the time, and it's kind of a mouthful. But the best way that I can describe it is kind of taking two paradigms of medicine. So if you take the conventional side with the blood, combine that then with nutrition, with botanicals, with homeopathic remedies, vitamins, supplements, physical manipulation, so similar to chiropractic adjustments, traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture. If you kind of mishmash those and bring them all together under one roof, that's naturopathic medicine. And that's, you know, as far as naturopathic doctors, that's how we're trained to bring those together and practice all of that safely.
That is a lot. Those are a lot of things that I have enjoyed over the years. I'm wondering if you, I've been to your office before. We brought our daughter to you, and I know that you do a lot with the nutritional aspect, but do you do any of the manipulative things too in your practice?
No, so With the way that Ohio works with naturopathic doctors, we're a little more limited in the tools that we can have in our toolbox. So when we're in our four-year programs, we learn our full scope of practice with all the tools in the toolbox that we can use. Whereas in a state like Ohio or any of those states around us, we do a lot more of the foundational work. So working on nutrition, making sure that people are moving, exercising, finding ways for stress management, making sure that they're sleeping well at night. And in addition to that, I do use a lot of botanicals, hydrotherapy, vitamin supplements, homeopathic remedies. So it's a lot more of that. When it comes to the hands-on therapies like manipulation or acupuncture, that's not something that we do in this state, but still something that is incredibly useful, and that's where we make those referrals over to acupuncturists or chiropractors, which we've got amazing practitioners here in Northwest Ohio.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I have used a lot of those modalities myself, and a lot of these different things that you just mentioned really work well together when they're combined.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you've gone into this a little bit, but how is an ND different from a traditional MD medical doctor? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, certainly. So our training is similar in the sense that we're both going to four-year medical programs. The difference is, let's talk about similarities. So we're going to a four-year medical program. In each of our programs, we're learning the anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, pharmacology. We learn all about those basics in our didactic classes. And then in naturopathic school as an ND, we're also learning how to safely combine that with nutrition, with botanicals, hydrotherapy, acupuncture. So we're bringing all of those tools together and making sure that we understand how to do that safely for the different patients that we see. So with an MD, they're learning within their 4 years of school, they're learning the didactics as well as the prescription medications and having that use in a clinical setting. We still learn that. We actually divide our program similar to they do, that we have 2 years being in the classroom and then 2 years of clinical rotations where we're actually applying those tools and seeing patients and having that follow-up care. So in that regard, they're similar, also different. And thereafter, things get a little different, whereas your traditional MD is going to go through a residency program, whatever specialty they choose, whether that's internal medicine, family care, obstetrics, gynecology. They'll go through their residencies and have that additional training in that specialty. And naturopathic medicine, because we're not licensed in all of the 50 states at this time, we're not required to complete a residency, although we're hoping that's the case once licensure is available in all states, that everybody complete a residency. So at this time, I think it's about 10 to 15% of us that do complete a residency or internship thereafter, and that was one of the really fortunate ones that I got to do a year of additional training once I was done. And that's really where, you know, those pieces come together and you kind of learn your niche and your individual approach when you're working with patients and establishing that relationship.
Yeah, yeah. So how many years did it take for you to complete the entire program from starting college to becoming the doctor that you are now?
Yeah, so I actually went to college here in Toledo. So I went to the University of Toledo and I got my bachelor's degree. So that was a four-year program. I went to Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine, which was out in Tempe. That's a four-year program, and I did my internship for a year thereafter. So I've been in school a long time.
Yeah.
And I've always considered myself a professional student, and if I had it my way, I would just continue going to school and then practicing and seeing my patients, doing it all.
Yeah. I'm a lifelong learner, too. When I graduate, you know, each time that I've graduated from one program, I just go right on to the next, you know, whether it's a formal training or just my own pursuits. I also am of that philosophy that there's always, it's like the more you learn, the more you don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
lifelong learners.
Yeah, it's fun though if it's something that you're interested in. And I can just tell from meeting you and working with you personally, I can tell that you have a real passion for this. And I think that's good. You know, when you're going to a doctor, you want to know that they like what they're doing and that they care for their patients. And I can see that in your practice for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, who can really benefit from naturopathic medicine? Can you tell me about who you're seeing in your practice and what kinds of concerns you face with those patients?
Yeah, so majority of my practice, I would say probably 80 to 90% of it is women. And I always joke with my patients, you know, women tend to be very proactive, very interested in preventive care.
Yeah.
And then my male patients will come in and say, well, my, you know, I had this cut and it's kind of infected. Is it too late to use an herb? So they kind of drag their feet to come in.
But when the amputation is ready to happen.
So I do see predominantly women. So that being said, I do focus a lot on women's medicine. I would say age range, women anywhere from their 30s to 60s. So the perimenopausal age, premenopausal, and then menopausal. So a lot of women's medicine. And I also have started to specialize in digestive dysfunction. Over the years, it's really become a passion of mine. So with digestive dysfunction, I do a lot of nutrition, looking into most of my patients have irritable bowel syndrome, and a lot of kind of, how would I say, like mystery illnesses, in the sense that they've been through, most of my patients have been through their primary care physicians, they've been to their OBGYN, to a gastroenterologist, cardiologist. They've often had very thorough workups by the time they come into my office, which is great because we need all of that information. And, you know, we always want to make sure that it's practicing safe medicine and that they have access to that care. But a lot of them kind of come in a bit frustrated that they've had these workups and have continued symptoms and maybe not seeing the results that they would like. And that's really common amongst the digestive dysfunction in general. So that's really become a passion of mine and something that I've seen amazing results with my patients. And sometimes it's relatively very simple changes that we can make. I think the kind of people that would fit naturopathic medicine, certainly we love to see everybody at the office, but people that are especially motivated to kind of take health into their own hands and make nutrition changes, make lifestyle changes, and really be part of their healing experience are the people that tend to really benefit the most of, with naturopathic medicine, because there's certainly a level of work, a level of effort that goes in, because we're not just prescribing a pill and band-aiding any symptoms. We're really trying to correct underlying dysfunction and see those symptoms improve because we're healing the whole person.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying, because when we brought our daughter to you last year, we were doing some dietary changes because we had discovered that those were helpful, but you really took it to another level. And I have to say that although it was hard, it was very hard to implement those things and make those changes, it made such a huge difference. I mean, you know, I had a feeling that it would help, and it really did, but it really was, it took a commitment, and not just, you know, she was 4 years old. She wasn't the one doing the cooking. I was. So, you know, really our whole family did it, because I was not going to cook two meals, and, you know, I thought we could probably all benefit from it. And I think we all did really benefit from it. I was pregnant at the time, and I feel that my baby benefited from it, and I think my husband did. He had more energy, and my daughter's symptoms really started to melt away over the last summer. So, but yeah, it's definitely a commitment. So, if you're not ready, you're not ready. But I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's actually over time I've started to kind of require that any potential new patients that want to schedule with me have a 20-minute consultation in advance. Mm-hmm. I don't end up, you know, charging for that time. It's just a chance for us to kind of meet over the phone and talk to them about a lot of things that we're talking about today. But it's a great chance to be able to introduce them to naturopathic medicine, to answer any questions that they have. And there's times where patients kind of get a feel and they're like, you know, I'm really busy. I'm just at this phase in my life that maybe it's not the best fit for me. So then we're able to, you know, make a referral to maybe it's another holistic doctor, maybe it's an acupuncturist, chiropractor, but just to make sure it's a good fit. So I like being able to feel people out for that because, like you said, it's a commitment. It's work, yeah. And it takes a tribe to do it.
Yes.
So we always want to make sure, especially because it's an out-of-pocket cost for patients that are coming into the office. I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, that they maybe didn't get their money's worth or they just felt that some of the recommendations were too difficult with where they were at. So we want to meet them halfway for sure.
Yes. Well, let's talk about that. I'm curious. We've talked about it a little bit in the office, but why isn't naturopathic medicine covered in Ohio right now?
That's a great question. So insurance coverage basically comes down to each individual state if they license and recognize naturopathic physicians. Right now, we've got 18 or 19 states that recognize the kind of training that I've had in recognizing a four-year naturopathic medical program, as well as holding us accountable to taking two sets of board exams, so our basic science board exams as well as our clinical board exams. So in the states where we recognize it's required that you take those board exams, that you pass them, that you complete continuing education each year, and you have a license in that state to practice medicine. Uh-huh. What we're able to do in those individual states varies on the regulations that the state sets aside. So, for instance, in the state of Arizona, which is where I was with my internship and training, we're primary care physicians there. So we, you know, we are able to accept insurance. We can write prescriptions for pharmaceuticals. We can complete minor surgery procedures for people, as well as the whole naturopathic kind of tool.
All right, Dr. White, we were having some more technical difficulties, which I guess is typical for your first podcast interview. Anyway, we were talking about the differences between Arizona and Ohio, and you were elaborating a little bit about what Ohio needs to do to maybe get on track with the licensure here. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, as we were saying, you know, Arizona's kind of like the ideal picture of what we'd like to see because, you know, we're, as naturopathic physicians, we're able to practice our full scope of how we're trained and get to use all the tools in our toolbox. Ohio is really different in that regard because they, you know, we're not licensed in the state. Our training is therefore not recognized. So it just limits some of the things that we're able to do with our patients that, you know, we're not able to accept insurance, we're not able to write prescriptions, we're not able to take on the role of a primary care or family care provider. So we take on much more of a consultant role in this state, which we still get great results. It doesn't stop us from being able to contribute towards the health of our patients. But when we have this, you know, the training that allows us to practice a much broader scope, it's something that we can work towards here in Ohio to recognize that training and to really, you know, expand the options that patients can have when it comes to their healthcare if they're looking for a different approach.
Right. So if you were able to use the other tools in your toolbox, where would you see yourself maybe a few years down the road if things develop here in Ohio with the licensure?
If we were licensed in Ohio, what I would love to see is, you know, I'd love to be able to accept insurance because that's probably the biggest deterrent in my practice. Patients or potential patients call every day, and that's one of the first questions that they have. And I wish we were able to accept that because
I could help so many more people, and that's why I do what I do, so that I can, you know, give a different approach to healthcare. So that would be something I'd like to see in the next few years. And I'll tell you, you know, when I was in Arizona, I did have a lot of fun. Saw great results using acupuncture with patients, and I did also really excel at minor surgery procedures. So we would do like lipoma removals for patients, working with like sebaceous cyst removal, things of that nature. So yeah. I had a lot of fun. Admittedly, I'm a bit of a nerd, but I enjoyed doing those things. I enjoyed teaching those things. So it would be great to be able to expand the things that I could do and have more hands-on modalities. But at the same time, you know, I really love what I do, and I love the things that I'm able to accomplish with the patients that I see already. I think the insurance would be the biggest.
Yes, yes, I can definitely understand that. You know, everybody's on a limited income, and boy, when you're paying your insurance premium and then going to a naturopathic doctor in addition, it is a little frustrating, I have to admit. But
it is. Now, I will say though, you know, there has been a little more flexibility for patients as more places and employers are offering health savings accounts, flexible spending accounts. A lot of those accounts are able to be used with naturopathic medicine. So that kind of helps to, you know, expand those options for those patients. But your insurance bit would also be really helpful.
Yes. Well, that's good to know that there are some options out there for people who are interested. Mm-hmm. I think that's important because you want to get better, but you also don't want to break the bank.
Absolutely.
But sometimes when you get desperate enough, it's worth spending the extra money, in my opinion. But,
And I do hear that from patients. As we were, you know, speaking about earlier, so many of the patients that come in have already seen so many specialists. So they've already paid their deductible. They've had thousands of dollars worth of tests. They've maybe had years of prescription medications that they've been trying. So by the time they reach the office, of course, you know, it's that out-of-pocket expense, but they're often like, well, I've already spent all this other money, and I'm kind of still in the same place. So, you know, what's another $255? And if you get me better,
that's worth so much. Yeah, that's worth so much. I can totally identify with that. And I know that nutrition right now is a very large part of your practice. Does nutrition really matter? I mean, is it really important? Do you think that the American diet is, you know, standard? Can people really survive and thrive on the American diet as it is? Or do you think that changes really need to
be
made?
The standard American diet? No, absolutely not. You know, it goes back to that saying, that old saying that you are what you eat.
Yeah.
And that's totally and completely true. I think, honestly, there's a large part of my job that probably wouldn't exist if, from the get-go, if people were learning all along how to eat whole foods, to try to avoid processed foods, to get good quality foods, to have organic if we're able to know where your meat is coming from and how that's produced. I think 9 out of 10 of my patients probably wouldn't even need to see me if we had been taught those things. And a common thing that I see amongst my patients as well is they go into their family doctors, and nutrition isn't a large part of, you know, the conventional medicine paradigm. So patients are, you know, they go into their appointments, they're told that they have hypertension, they have high cholesterol, maybe that they're pre-diabetic, and they're told to eat better and exercise. And, you know, they're prescribed a medication, but they really don't know where to start when it comes to what does eat better mean, you know, and how do I exercise, right. You know, where do I start with that? Nutrition really can kind of make or break people's experiences with health, and that's really what I get down to with the patients that I see. And it's not all about, you know, respecting the food pyramid and eating our fruits and vegetables, which those things are well and good. But also one of the biggest lessons I like to see with my patients is having them to start the to connect the dots between what are you eating every day and how does that make you feel? Does it make you feel well? Do you have good energy? Are you able to focus when you go to school or go to work? Or do you maybe not feel so well? Do we have a low mood? Does your stomach hurt? Does your reflux act up? Do your joints ache? There's that direct connection with foods, and if we can, you know, have and appreciate that relationship, it really helps to empower patients so that they're able to make that connection and, in the end, make their own decisions on what nutrition is going to be best for them and what kind of changes they want to make.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, why do it if it doesn't help? But a lot of times I don't think it hurts to try something and see how you feel. We had done something before we saw you with my daughter. I had gotten this, I don't know, it was maybe a $2 app on iTunes, and it was a food, kind of like a food tracker. I think it's called My Symptom Tracker, and you would put in, so I put in everything that she ate all day for about 2 weeks, and then I would put in, you know, did she have a tantrum or a meltdown, or did she feel sick to her stomach, or did she go to the bathroom and it wasn't so good, you know, all these different things. And it was really surprising what came up in that, you know, things that I had never suspected. But it's hard to keep track if you're not writing it down or actually keeping track, because, you know, you eat three meals a day usually, and then little kids eat a lot of snacks and, you know, busy lifestyle. And I thought that I was paying pretty good attention, but that really helped me to actually have a list that I could look at. And this app actually had some sort of algorithm in it that said, oh, you know, we've noticed that she's eaten every time she's eaten red grapes, she's had a meltdown 15 minutes later. You know, that was eye-opening for me.
Wow,
I never connected that. But when your kid is having meltdowns all day long, you know, you just, and you think, oh, well, grapes are healthy, I'm going to give her some grapes. Well, you know, you just never know. So I understand what you're saying.
Quite honestly, that I like to make sure that all of my patients do at some point. Some of them have already done it by the time they come into the office. And even for any of the listeners, you know, if you have any kind of chronic concerns, whether it's digestive health or kind of inflammatory symptoms like having headaches, having joint pain, eczema, psoriasis, things of that nature, doing as Rose had suggested and keeping a diet diary, whether it's the app that she had mentioned or, you know, keeping it in a notebook, being able to keep a diet diary of what you're eating and connecting any symptoms. So maybe you're a little itchier, maybe your joints hurt a little bit a couple hours after you eat. Having that information is really great to start to connect those dots and just have a better understanding of how your nutrition may or may not be working for you. And I often find when it comes to, you know, those kind of reactions from foods, sometimes it takes place immediately after you eat a problem food, and sometimes it can take a couple days to show up. So that's where doing the diet diary, as you suggested, and kind of keeping it at a, you know, maybe a couple weeks to get that information can be really helpful to have a little bit more time to see if there's any patterns that stick out.
Yeah. So you think that probably a couple weeks would be what you would suggest as well then?
Yeah, I think that's really reasonable.
Uh-huh. And then if somebody sees something coming up with a red flag, what would you suggest doing then? Eliminating that food and possibly seeing if the symptoms subside?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. Whenever I have a patient who we're suspecting that there's an underlying food sensitivity or food trigger, I usually suggest to eliminate that for anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks to just get a nice clear picture of how they feel without that food involved. And what they usually have fun with after the fact is when you actually go through the process of reintroduction and then you add that food back in. And that's really where, you know, the proof is in the pudding, that we're able to see by adding that food back in, if we see any return of symptoms or if we see any flare of symptoms, then it's pretty cut and clear to them that that was a reaction or maybe not a reaction. And if patients also you know, if they're eliminating multiple foods. So I have some patients that'll take gluten out of their diet or dairy products out of their diet. But the most important part is when you reintroduce those foods is to make sure that you'll only challenge one food at a time. It's so common that I'll have patients that'll take, you know, wheat out of their diet, dairy out of their diet, and that 3 or 4 weeks is up and they go and they want to have a pizza.
Yeah.
But then if they don't feel well after eating that pizza, we don't know if it was the wheat or if it was the dairy, if there was something else that potentially made them feel not so great.
Uh-huh.
So that's my, you know, rule of thumb is make sure that you introduce them separately so that we're able to gauge any potential reactions.
Right. Yeah, and I totally get the craving pizza thing when you're gluten and dairy free.
Absolutely.
It's usually not a happy ending for me anyway, but totally get that. I was going to ask you, I know that gluten and dairy are really big in the food elimination. I don't want to call it a fad because I don't think it's a fad. I think there is something to it. But could you explain the difference, especially with gluten? I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I know that there are people that have celiac disease, and then there are people who are gluten sensitive, which is what my daughter and I seem to be. Could you explain what the difference is? And in your opinion, is a gluten sensitivity really a legitimate thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, when it comes to celiac disease, that's an actual autoimmune disease where the body literally cannot tolerate gluten, whether that's consumption of gluten, consumption of foods that have been contaminated with gluten, consumption of foods that have been prepared on a surface that already had gluten touching it. And with celiac patients, it can often take years for them to be diagnosed. And sometimes patients don't even have the overt digestive symptoms that go along with that. But maybe they have eczema, maybe they have joint pain, maybe they have headaches. So it's not always super cut and clear. But the best way, you know, when it comes to celiac disease, to discern that between a gluten sensitivity is to see a primary care physician or to see a gastroenterologist. And they will go through and do blood samples, and they may even do a biopsy of the small intestine if they're doing an endoscopy procedure, any kind of imaging.
Wow.
But those are the ways that we would then confirm a diagnosis of celiac disease, and it's those more extreme cases where you have to be not only careful about the food consumed, but the way that the food was prepared. And we've also found that gluten is in a lot of products. It can be in cosmetics. It can be in soaps and shampoos. So the celiac population has to be really mindful of any potential sources of gluten, as it doesn't take very much to cause a return of symptoms. But on the opposite end of that, the celiac patients, as long as they're very diligent with gluten elimination, most of their chronic health concerns dissipate once they've had a chance to not have that exposure to gluten. Whereas on the other side, you can have patients that can have non-celiac gluten sensitivity, where the blood test may come back negative, the endoscopy or the biopsy may return negative, but they still recognize that if they take gluten out of their diet, if they add it back in, that they see their symptoms return. They may not have to be as mindful as far as the contamination of gluten is concerned, but it doesn't mean that their symptoms would be any, you know, less minor than what a celiac patient may experience. It's just a difference between, you know, the blood work and the diagnosis that comes with it.
Right. And I think another upside of eliminating gluten in our family is that we have been forced to read nutrition facts and read ingredient labels, which I really was not doing until I went gluten-free several years ago. I think that really benefited us too. It benefited me first, but benefits our whole family now because I've really become educated on what's actually in food. And it's
right,
kind of like a
yes.
chemistry experiment sometimes when you're reading this label and you know,
yeah.
if I don't know
and
what it is.
If you see a word that you don't recognize, your body's not going to recognize it either, so you probably shouldn't be eating it.
Yeah, run the other way. So, yeah, and I think that just becoming conscious in that way also is really a great benefit, you know. So that was sort of a sidebar there, but
absolutely.
Yeah, that has really helped us too. You know, I never read nutrition labels before I went gluten-free. I just thought if it's on the store shelf, it's got to be safe, you know? They wouldn't be allowed to sell this if it wasn't at least partially good for me, you know? And then they add all these vitamins and nutrients and, well, I know better now, but, but yeah.
And I often find it's, you know, you have to meet people wherever they are, and we all had to start somewhere. It wasn't
absolutely
that long ago. Well, I guess it was long ago, but when I was in college, I survived off of ramen noodles and Marco's pizza and had a very standard American diet. And you go off to naturopathic medical school, and you're suddenly awakened to, wow, okay, this is a whole new world.
Uh-huh.
So it may start with just reading those food labels and starting to recognize that you have no idea what's in the actual food you're eating.
Uh-huh.
And if it means that, you know, if we start and say, okay, great, well, this has a really long ingredient list, so let's start transitioning to foods that have 5 ingredients or less on them on the label, great, that's a great step. And over time, that turns into, let's make sure that half of the foods we eat have no label on them whatsoever. Wonderful, that's a great change. And we just continue to make those baby steps, and it's a learning process.
Uh-huh.
We're never perfect. We're never going to be perfect. We're all going to have our vices, but I think it's just taking those baby steps and just continuing to, you know, improve as we learn more. And that's really the job of a naturopathic doctor, is to be able to teach our patients and empower them so that they have the information to make those decisions for themselves and for their families.
I love that you see yourself as a teacher. I think that is so cool. And isn't that, didn't Hippocrates say that doctors are, was it Hippocrates?
It's said that doctors docere, are, so it's oh, one okay. of our naturopathic principles that's doctor is teacher. And it's one
yeah.
of my most favorite principles because it, you know, gives that responsibility and allows us to have that time as doctors to really teach and educate our patients. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. Here's how it's going to benefit you. So let's get out cookbooks. Let's talk about recipes. Let's talk about blogs and resources. And let's just really make sure that I teach you so that I'm setting you up for success, because we never want to set somebody up for failure.
Yeah. And I think it's sort of funny to think about you eating ramen noodles and pizza.
That was a long time ago.
So how did you go from ramen noodles and pizza to eating whole foods? Like, where did all of this begin? Where was the mind shift there?
You know, I mean, as far as the diet itself, it definitely shifted when I went off to school and just started to learn more about clinical nutrition. And for the most part, my mom did a great job making sure, you know, as I was growing up, that I did have whole foods. But I think I went through that little rebellious stage when I went off to college and I said, well, there's a pizza place in my dorm room, so I'm just going to have a blast and do what I want.
Uh-huh.
But you know, my mom was always a really good influence on having good nutrition overall, and she was very open to holistic medicine as a whole, because she was definitely one of those patients that had allergic reactions to everything. So she'd take a prescription medication, she'd break out in hives,
oh.
she'd take another medication to cover up the hives, and she'd get more hives, and
oh,
then her
no.
eyes would swell shut. So just a very sensitive patient in general, and it was, you know, she was, I believe in her 30s was when she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and she had a myriad of medications that they were trying her on, and she just couldn't tolerate them. And it got to the point, you know, I remember as a kid, I would watch her, and she couldn't work in the garden, but she loved to work in the garden. She couldn't exercise. She would get out of bed, and she'd be moving really slow, and you could just tell that she was uncomfortable. She was in a lot of pain.
Oh.
So eventually, you know, kind of fast forward to me being in high school, she started seeing a holistic doctor, and it was within a matter of months that, you know, they changed her diet, she had some chiropractic work done, she did a lot of emotional work as well, and they, you know, she was exercising, working in the garden, she was like a new person within a really short period of time, and it didn't take any prescription medications to get her there.
Wow, so
it was
you got
at that
to
point, you know, I'm a junior in a sophomore, a junior in high school, and I'm thinking about going into medicine, and I wanted to be a pediatrician, and I thought she was crazy for going to the this holistic doctor. doctor, this kind of witch doctor.
Doesn't it always start out that way?
Well, just give it a chance. Can you please just go shadow this doctor? So I did for, it was probably about a week. And that changed everything when I started to see, you know, the time that he spent with his patients, to see this doctor engage with them, to cry with them, to rejoice with them, and to just have that, like, personal touch, in addition to not having to rely on prescriptions or surgery. It just changed my outlook on what medicine could be or should be with what I wanted to be able to provide for people. So I owe a lot to my mama. Aww. And I'm sending me off to that witch doctor, because it really changed the course of where we're at and brought me here today.
Oh, I have goosebumps right now. That is so cool. She must be so proud of you.
Well, and she's with me at the office. She's the one that answers the phone and just makes sure that everybody feels really comfy when they come in. So
yes, I have met her.
You know, she would always be happy to answer any questions anybody has too.
Yes, that is like the most. That is just the coolest story, and I'm so impressed that you've kind of come full circle now, and you and your mom are working together, and it's just so cool. So cool.
Thank you. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, we've talked about a lot of different things, and I think right now is a good time to kind of wrap it up. But before we do, since this is called Thrive Tribe 419 podcast, I would like to ask you a little bit about, and I know you've talked about archery a little bit, but is there anything else, particularly in Northwest Ohio, that really helps you to thrive, a certain activity, a certain place that you might want to let our listeners in on?
Yeah, so there's two things in particular that come to mind. So one is there's a place in both Perrysburg and Toledo. It's a gym that's called I Love Kickboxing. And it's just, you know, I started going probably about 2 years ago, and I fell in love with being able to kickbox, to get stronger, to have fun workouts, and have really learn more and meet more people that are in our community. And that's something I talk about with my patients is, you know, don't just join a gym and feel like you have to be a gym rat, but find a place that you can make friends, find a place that will hold you accountable to come, find a place that's a lot of fun for you. And that was something I just fell in love with going there. So whenever I have a stressful day or I just want to see my friends, I love going to that studio. And the other thing that I love is Northwest Ohio, we have the most beautiful metro parks. And now is the season to get out there and enjoy it. And having, you know, been in Toledo for a good chunk of my life, I kind of wonder why I haven't spent more time enjoying it.
Yeah.
But it's such a, there's such beautiful resources.
Agreed.
And I think we're all better off if we could spend more time outside, you know, in nature and have that time to ourselves as well.
Yeah. Oh, I always feel so much better after I spend time outside, even if the weather's a little not so nice, which happens a lot here. if I really make myself get out and do it, oh, I just feel like a new person. And I always wonder why, like you said, why didn't I do this sooner? Why don't I do this more often? So I'm trying to instill that in my kids though. But so in the show notes, I am going to put some information about this gym, and it's called I Love Kickboxing.
That's correct.
Okay. And maybe put a little link to a page that can tell people more about the metro parks in Northwest Ohio, and awesome. Especially in Toledo. I agree. There are some great ones there. There's some great trails for walking, for biking, great scenery, all kinds of stuff. And great playgrounds for kids too.
Yeah.
So if people want to, contact you, how can they do that?
A couple different ways. So we do, our website is ToledoNaturopathic.com. We've got a lot of information on there where patients can read up more about naturopathic medicine, learn more about me, the different kind of modalities that I offer at the office. And I like to stay pretty active on our Facebook page, and it's just facebook.com/ToledoNaturopathic. I like being able to post different recipes, different studies I've come across, as well as just talking talking about patient results and patient testimonials, because there's nothing quite like just hearing it from somebody that's had the experience of coming into the office to just get a better feel for what we do. So those would be the best ways to be in touch with us. And we really hope that we'll be able to speak with you in the future, and hopefully our paths can cross.
Yeah, I do hope people do check you out. I know that there are so many good resources here in Northwest Ohio, but I think you have one of the best. So
I really hope
if people are struggling with their health that they make the investment in themselves and give it a shot. By the way, you have decided to do a giveaway with us, which is really pretty cool. I'm a little bit jealous that somebody gets to win this. It's Pure Encapsulations Nutrient 950 without copper or iron, and that is a high-quality multivitamin, right?
Yeah, it's a multivitamin, and I'll tell you that Pure Encapsulations is one of the nutraceutical companies that really leads the way as far as the quality and their overall manufacturing processes. And it's completely true that no supplement is created the same. We always want to be really mindful of the quality as far as, you know, the forms of the vitamins and minerals, making sure that they're in the best form for absorption so the body can recognize, making sure we have adequate dosing. And Nutrient 950 has been one of my favorite multivitamins to use with patients to just make sure that, especially as we're making any changes with nutrition and trying to build that foundation, that they have a multivitamin that comes in and kind of fills in those cracks. So I'm excited to be able to give that to a lucky winner. It should last them a month or two, and I'll be interested to hear about, you know, their experience of taking it too.
Yes, we will try to keep tabs on whoever wins this. I think what I'm going to do is we'll ask our listeners to go like your Facebook page, and that's Toledo Naturopathic on Facebook, and also like Thrive Tribe 419 on Facebook, and I will post a picture of this multivitamin, and underneath it, listeners, if you can just let us know what you thought about this first podcast, even though the quality may not be the greatest yet as we work out some kinks, I hope that you enjoyed listening to Dr. Malia White. And one more question. This multivitamin is safe for people that have the MTHFR issues going on, correct?
Yes, so they do make sure that that they're not using any synthetic folic acid and that they do have the MTHF form of folate.
Oh, great, great. I know that there will be listeners who are concerned about that, so I just wanted to double check.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good question.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining us today. I think this was really fun. Thank you for hanging in there through our technical difficulties as I learn how to do this podcasting thing. And I would hope that maybe in the future you would join us again to dig a little deeper into some of this stuff. Would you be interested in doing that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I'm so grateful that you had me and we were able to, you know, kind of launch this first podcast together. And if there is, even from the listeners, if there's any particular topic that you're interested in that you'd like to hear more about, that's something that we could put together.
Oh, that would be so awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, if anybody out there would like to ask questions, maybe the next episode with Dr. White could be more of a listener question and answer session. Maybe that would be fun to do.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again. And listeners, I encourage you again to go to our Facebook pages and give us feedback. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.